You're listening to Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. To listen to the full show in its entirety, find the full Dana Show with the most recent date. Thanks for listening.
We made it. We had an ant species that used the pronoun they.
Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. So on Fridays, we're going to start doing something fun because everything has been so ridiculous and it's not even depressing anymore. It's just you feel like you're the only sane person. I feel like I was accidentally put into an insane asylum whenever I watch the news and I hear almost anyone in politics talk. And it's not honestly just limited to Democrats. There's some Republicans where I'm like, why are you doing this now? Like, out of all the times to have this fight, why now? It just, and because I can't go and get my motorized tiki hut and pretend to be a pirate and sing sea shanties down in the Keys just yet, the next best thing is to have the guys from the Babylon Bee to join us every Friday, but not today on Thursday. It's going to start next week.
Wednesdays.
That's good. Thank you for correcting me. I don't know what day it is. Where are we? I'm an alien. I don't know. But Kyle Mann and Ethan Nicole, who are the editor-in-chief and the creative director of the Babylon Bee, respectively, they join us. And you can tell it because there's the Bee logo right behind them. And they are kings, apparently, of misinformation, as we are warned. We've been warned by them, by the internet overlords, and they join us. Gentlemen, it's good to see you. Thank you for joining our Wayne's World show.
Yes, thanks for having us on, Garth. Wayne and Garth.
I've never been placed to a motorized tiki hut before.
It's a dream of mine. But I would be a really bad pirate because I get seasick, so I need to stay in the shallow area. So just only around where I can touch. That's where I could pirate. And then everywhere else would be kind of off limits because I'd just vomit immediately. So I want to talk to you about the story that you guys got. You guys got in trouble for another story. And I don't know who is in the cubicle reading this stuff and going, someone's going to think this is real. I need to put a warning on this immediately. So let me tell people, if they didn't see the story, if you haven't gone to the Babylon Bee, then what is wrong with your life? But the story had to do, because of everybody having to wear 6 feet of face masks at all times, humans evolving their own individual organic face coverings at birth. And they immediately, Kyle had tweeted out the screenshot of this. It said that it was misinformation and that this goes against our community standards and this misinformation could cause physical harm. And it had like the whole tag over it and everything, like, you know, danger. So someone thinks that you all are real and this is happening. Tell me about this, because how are we here? How are we here alive, breathing now? I mean, this is why aliens lock their doors when they fly by Earth. What does this make you guys feel like when you see this stuff on your work?
It's an honor and a privilege. To be flagged as misinformation. It's wonderful. It just means that we're flying over the target, I guess.
What fascinates me about it is that I believe it's probably like an algorithm that gets it first, or somebody who's just mad and flags it. But it was like reviewed, right?
Yeah.
And then they put their foot down and said, no, this is going to, someone's going to, and I'm just trying to figure out, what is the damage that's going to be done to somebody by following this article?
If they believe that
they'll wear a mask forever, isn't that what they want?
Face masks?
I mean, I don't know what it feels like.
Are they worried that they're going to pull like their bottom lip up over their face or something? Like, I was just trying to think of all the ways that this could be harmful.
I love that visual.
Yeah. I mean, it's, and this isn't the first time that this has happened to you guys either, because this seems like it's a weekly occurrence. And for those who are watching, we're joined by Kyle Mann. He's on the left, and Ethan Nicole. He's on the right, the editor in chief and creative director, respectively, of the Babylon Bee. And this is, how many times has this happened to you guys? This is like the fifth or sixth time. I think it's more than that.
Makes a good baker's dozen. I think,
occurrence.
With Facebook, they've deleted 5 or 6 posts of ours over the last year or so. With Twitter, it comes up occasionally. We get it on Instagram a lot. We're constantly getting things deleted. And, you know, a lot of it is because the algorithm can't detect satire. Computers aren't very good at detecting sarcasm. But then, like Ethan said, the weird part is that we'll request a review. It'll go up the flagpole at Facebook or these other sites. And someone will look at it and go, yep, that's dangerous. And dangerous. Yeah, they will rubber stamp it. So that a few years ago, we had the CNN purchases industrial sized washing machine to spin the news. That got flagged and got us demonetized. We had Senator Hirono demands Amy Coney Barrett be weighed against a duck to see if she's a witch.
These got full Snopes fact checks too.
Like, full on.
They had their best agents on the case.
Speaking of agents, I loved the story that you had other day, and I actually keep checking back up on it on Facebook because I'm like, they're gonna take this down. After the CIA came out with their woke video, which was really creepy. You had the story, and I'm butchering this, I'm sure. I'm just from memory. You had the story, the CIA is going to go after ISIS for pronoun usage or something to that effect. And I'm just like waiting for that to get taken down.
Yeah. CIA uncovered the ISIS plot to use the wrong pronouns. And it's a very deadly terrorist plot. So
we're all living in fear. Everybody is so sensitive that... I know nuance is dead, but what does that spell for satire? Because you guys, obviously, you traffic in satire, very dangerous thing nowadays. I mean, what are your thoughts on this? Because people are afraid to even be, just to be funny or lighthearted anymore, because everyone purposefully takes things seriously. They want to assume the worst of somebody as, I guess, some kind of substitute for coming up with, you know, a thought that is... more indicative of the human species, someone who's a rational thinker. And so people can't be that stupid. They just, I hope to believe that they're just that mean to assume everything is that literal.
I think part of the essence of making a joke is you're saying a thing everybody's thinking, but they either don't know how to put it or they're afraid to say it. And the way things are right now, joking is dangerous unless you're joking in the right direction. And so that's the thing, I think, that they can't handle it if you're saying the thing that there's a lot of things right now that people feel like you're not supposed to say. And they feel like it's good that people feel like they can't say it. And so, you know, being willing to take that stance, it makes it both. I mean, we make the jokes because we love to laugh, but also like you do kind of have to go. I don't know exactly what's going to happen in the future, but we're just going to keep doing it.
Yeah, for sure. And to that, it's I think sometimes humor allows you, and satire particularly, one of the reasons why I think it's so valuable is just like what you were saying with all of this everybody is so incredibly sensitive that you can't even honestly, genuinely, in good faith share an opinion because someone's going to attack you. But satire allows people to kind of say the stuff that really does need to be said and needs to be explored. But you have that plausible deniability of humor with that, and now that's even being taken away. Everything just is boring. I mean, even comedies nowadays just are awful.
Well, that's the thing too, like you make a joke that makes a point against the left, it's kind of like that moment on Matilda when the kid's eating the chocolate cake and everybody starts cheering for him. Like, you're not supposed to be laughing and cheering right now, you know.
Yeah No, I get it. Kyle, let me ask you this. We're talking with Kyle Nathan of Babylon Bee. Kyle, let me ask you this. When you're working these topics, I mean, do you guys ever stop and think, oh, we're so going to get banned for this, or this one's going to get the account suspended? Or is that kind of the thought for everything you put out?
I mean, we're ready for it. Like, yeah, we're absolutely ready for it. And I mean, it would only be good for us on some level.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's inevitable that at some point we're breaking away from the mainstream social platforms. It's just an inevitability for us at this point. But yeah, we definitely have those conversations, and we'll run it up the flagpole and say, is this a joke that's worth getting banned from Twitter for? Because it might happen. You know, and usually we'll say, yeah, it's worth it. And we haven't been completely permanently banned yet. So at least we have that going for
us. And you guys have had some. Go ahead, Ethan.
That's true. That's just so funny. It's just always so funny, the ones they pick. It's so random.
Yeah, it's hard to predict, because the ones that we get worried about, that we're concerned will get banned for, they're fine.
Yeah.
And then we do a joke about Hirono getting weighed against a duck.
And then that's
and we get in trouble
one.
For it.
What do you actually had a little bit of a victory here against New York Times, because they had to correct, and pulling this up, they had this piece that they ran about you guys where they were citing you. They said satire kept popping up as a blind spot in 2019 and 2020. Facebook often dealt with far-right misinformation sites that use satire claims to protect their presence on the platform. And they said, you, particularly you right-leaning site, traffic in misinformation under the guise of satire. they're kind of I guess you have to explain satire now to the New York Times.
Yeah, it's bizarre. And even their correction didn't really correct the issue. They just kind of moved it to a little side note. So yeah, that's a huge concern, because that's the kind of thing like where Wikipedia will call us fake news and you'll have their editors discussing whether or not we should be labeled as satire or fake news. And they'll cite the New York Times in their discussions and say, hey, see, this reputable newspaper, the New York Times, says they're fake news. So they are. So once that gets out there in the conversation, then that's what you social media sites and such can use to ban you.
Yeah. I feel like we are at a kind of an idiocracy point in human history when Snopes regularly fact checks you guys. And I see this, it's actually, I think it's a regular occurrence at this point. I know USA Today, I've definitely seen all the Snopes stuff. I haven't seen the USA Today stuff, but I don't doubt it at all. But I have like all these things where Snopes went after you and were fact checking, like, not entirely true, which is like their way of saying, well, it's true, but we don't like it. I really feel like words are getting redefined, even veins of reporting and the way that people are reporting are being redefined and the boundaries are being redrawn. What are your guys' thoughts as to the, and this might be like a heavier question. I mean, I wanted to keep it fun and lighthearted and, you know, and maybe make fun of, you know, how apparently Bill Gates is a horrible sugar daddy because that cottage was awful. I just had to say that because I can't get over it. It was really bad. Yeah. I mean, it was like really the walls. It just looked like somebody put up plywood. And then he's got like this crazy mansion on a lake somewhere in, you know, in Seattle. That's where it's just all weird anyway. But I mean, is news dead? I mean, is regular reporting now just like people just observing things and kind of the citizen journalism? Is that kind of where we are? And I really feel like I trust you guys more than I trust NBC. I'm not even joking.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of a broader discussion about how information gets out there now. I mean, with social media, that's what we've been struggling with is, you know, back in the day, if you had a satirical newspaper, everybody knew it was satire because it was on a newspaper that someone subscribed to because they wanted to read, you know, the physical copy of The Onion or the old Wittenberg Door or whatever. And nowadays, information gets out there and you can't tell if it's satire, if it's fake news, if it's real news, you know, so-called real news or whatever. So it's something that our culture is really struggling with as information just gets passed around and people still haven't really grappled with the concept that just because something gets published on the internet that, you know, that doesn't mean that it's true necessarily. Yeah. So it's a real problem for our society, I think, the way that people process information. And I think social media is largely to blame for the way that we passively consume content on, you know, algorithm-driven platforms like Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
and I think legacy media is like flailing. They don't know what to do the way that media is changing, the way information is changing. They're not the authority now, so they don't know what to do.
Yeah, they're
and even
out.
Comedy's changing too, like how mainstream entertainment's getting out there.
Yeah.
So I mean, it probably freaks the Onion out that we're getting bigger numbers of them constantly right now, and it's insane.
And that goes into my next question. We're talking to Kyle and Ethan with Babylon B. Last question for you guys, and you brought it right up to the point I was going. I remember when the Onion used to be funny. This was years ago. They stopped being funny. The left used to be the people who pushed the envelope, and they were funny, and they were the ones who were really good at saying the things that everybody thought, but they didn't say. And it takes a level of courage, and I think comfort in knowing what truth is and what truth is not, and understanding logic, where I feel like they've sort of lost that grasp. At what point did the left stop being funny? Because even when they try now, it's just they're making a political statement, and people think that's humor. But it's not. They can't laugh at themselves. They can't, I mean, really laugh at anybody else. It's just seriousness that masquerades as humor, and it's not. When did they lose that? When did that happen?
Yeah, I mean, I'll preface by saying that I still think The Onion is pretty funny sometimes, and I'm not going to
totally
attack
them. I think they're horrible.
I love The Onion.
But, you know, I'll let the people decide. Just listen to what Dana said.
Yeah.
But no, I personally want to attack anybody. But, I mean, I think once you become really like religiously zealous about your views, and you can no longer laugh at yourself. And that's kind of what us, you know, conservative Christians were 50, 60 years ago. We were the people who couldn't laugh at a joke. Mm-hmm. And that made us a great target for satire and comedy, and rightly so. You know, and now when you have the left that believes things, these far left ideas, and they believe them with religious fervor, all of a sudden all these topics become really, really ripe for comedy. because they're things that aren't supposed to be joked about, and that just makes it a great target.
Yeah, that's true.
And all of our inspirations are left leaning comedians. I mean, they created us. We didn't learn all this from right wing comedians.
Yeah,
you taught us everything we know.
Yeah, pass the torch. Yeah, I guess.
You created a monster. So you guys are kind of like Frankenstein's monster. You really are.
Alive.
You made me.
You made me who I am. I learned it by watching you.
Exactly.
Well, folks, you have to check it out. The Babylon Bee, Kyle Mann and Ethan Nicole, really appreciate what you guys do. And I think it's nice to have a place to go to that's current and talks about current events. But it's also, I mean, you have to be a happy warrior. I mean, you got to laugh at some of this stuff because it's so funny and ridiculous. And you guys really aid in that. So thank you for being a bright spot in our day. And you guys are going to be, we're going to be doing this weekly, every Wednesday.
Monthly.
Monthly. You guys just almost had a stroke, didn't you? You're like, what? We didn't agree to a week?
It's not what Kane said.
What happened here? Yeah, monthly. You guys are going to be joining us monthly on Wednesdays. And we're going to have some fun. Founded 30 years ago, Kel-Tec takes pride in their mission of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company, Kel-Tec began making firearms in 1995 and to this day continues to never copy weapons, but always innovate and create never-before-seen firearms. Now, SHOT Show is usually the time for Kel-Tec to unveil what's next, but with SHOT canceled this year, stay tuned to this program and the Kel-Tec social channels to discover new Kel-Tec weapons, all true to Kel-Tec's commitment to their customers by offering them firearm designs they can't get anywhere else. All Kel-Tec firearms are quality made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to go to work. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, and the right to bear arms, and they work hard to provide top quality products for you, law enforcement, and military personnel that protect America and our freedoms. To find a retailer near you and learn more about Kel-Tec's full line of pistols, rifles, shotguns, accessories, and more, check them out at KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
That's like the ultimate 90s, like Daria girl kind of anthem, right? Gosh, I love Shirley Manson. Y'all remember Kim Gardner, right? Mm-hmm, my hometown of St. Louis. Kim Gardner is facing a professional misconduct probe. She could actually lose her law license, finally. Chief Disciplinary Counsel Alan Pratzel, that's a delicious last name, outlined numerous instances of violation of Missouri's rules governing lawyers related to actually not just her involvement, because you had this situation with Eric Greitens, and yes, he screwed up and made himself vulnerable because he's reckless. But even with a compromised and corrupt prosecutor like Kim Gardner, this is the same woman, by the way, who was involved in the McCluskey case, right? So they're investigating her. We'll keep you updated because I think she should lose her law license. This is a woman who really, really abused her position. So first off, Oktoberfest was canceled in Germany again because everything sucks. Not that I was like going or anything, but I would like to at some point. So put your Heidi stuff up. The Bavarian governor, Markus Söder, said that it was with a heavy heart that they decided to call off the festival, for which the state is known globally. They said it will be held again and it will be big again, but they're in the middle of a lockdown and they have a ban on large gatherings. And so that's what they're dealing with. I barely remember this. Do you guys remember? Is anybody out there remembers the Noid with Domino's advertising? Did you remember that?
Avoid the Noid. I remember that.
Yeah, the Noid. I mean, there's not a lot that I... Well, anyway, so they're apparently bringing this back as like an advertising shtick. This is something that is Washington Post reported on it, that Domino's Pizza is bringing back the Noid. And it was funny because apparently this thing once drove a dude to take hostages. That's literally their headline. They're like, Domino's is bringing back the Noid, a mascot that once drove a man to take hostages. Feels like that's okay, but the guy was working at Domino's. There was a dude who drove a white limousine as a getaway car, and he tried to hold up a Domino's, and he blamed it on the Noid. I don't even know what the Noid is. What was the Noid?
An enemy to pizza.
Okay, well, there. In addition to appearing in TV commercials, the Noid is also going to join Crash Bandicoot and a video game series. I also hate that character. These are two things that I hate that are going to be in a thing together. So, I mean, double the badness. U.S. Navy also said UFOs could be coming from an underwater base. What? I'll talk about that later. There's a newly discovered ant that becomes the first species to be given a non-binary scientific name. The Independent reports that the ant species is not non-binary, but researchers chose a non-binary name to be inclusive.
That's real?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a beautiful new ant species. It's given a gender-neutral name.
When you say ant, do they mean like opposite of uncle?
So the name is... It's an ant that they found in Ecuador. It's called Stromogenes aerste, and the they suffix is recognition of non-binary. We've made it. That's what people... Is that what non-binary... We made it. We had an ant species that used the pronoun they.
A newly discovered ant, though.
The miniature trap jaw ant. It's from the evergreen tropical forests of Ecuador. And it's been given the unconventional Latin name, Stromogenes aerste. Non-binary is a term used to describe people who do not identify as masculine or feminine. Looks like a damn ant. Okay. And the ant, they took pains to say that the ant itself is not non-binary. It's the name that is. And then they used Ayers-They, paying tribute to a Georgia-based activist. It's an ant. Right. Somewhere aliens are going, now they're trying to even be gender neutral with the names that they're giving to new species like ants. What does this do? I just think it's silly. Do what you're going to do, but this is, we get to make fun of it because it's ridiculous. This is to the nth degree here. I mean, it really is. They said, and then the doctor researcher, Dr. Booher, literally Booher, said there wasn't anything about the species' physical characteristics that earned it the non-binary name. It just embodies the spirit of diversity. Does this ant know this?
Does science know this?
Yeah, they, wow. Okay. There you go. Well, you get, where's my ant? I don't want an ant named after me. I don't understand. Okay, go ahead, do it. I mean, infrastructure and stuff. Answer infrastructure. Okay, well, I guess and then a New Orleans zoo canceled a pro-police event because it might be divisive. Really? Mm-hmm. It was called Blue at the Zoo. Blue at the Zoo. It's not happening anymore. Audubon Zoo's planned event. It was going to encourage positive relations between the police department and the citizenry. And we cannot have that. We cannot encourage positive relations. The 6-day promotion was going to grant 20% off zoo and aquarium concessions and gifts for patrons who wore law enforcement's iconic color. But some woke scolds got the mads and they spoke out. And so the zoo said, no, we can't do it. They released a statement saying, the nonprofit New Orleans Police and Justice Foundation and the Audubon Zoo, our Nature Institute, partnered to host Blue at the Zoo in an effort to promote and foster positive interactive experiences with our New Orleans Police Department. Audubon facilities have long been welcoming and safe places for the children, families, and citizens of our community. We heard feedback regarding the event from members of the community and from persons outside of the community who feel this event could be unintentionally divisive rather than inclusive. And though that was never the intent, the Audubon Nature Institute made the decision to cancel the event. Instead of going, screw off, we're having it, they decided to, because heaven forbid we have anything that normalizes relations or encourages discussion or fosters any kind of reconciliation. Somebody might lose the grift. Can't have that.
Do you want the CIA choosing their personnel based on intersectionality or based on competence? I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest Sarah Carter Show, I'll discuss how the Russians and Chinese must be thrilled at how identity politics are becoming more important than protecting our nation. I'll also be joined by Tiffany Smiley, the amazing wife of a wounded warrior who changed the military and the VA and is now running for the U.S. Senate in Washington State. Subscribe to the Sarah Carter Show at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Well, in the villages, there was a woman who did not get it her way. She is a 77-year-old villager. Sounds like a Minecraft story. She was arrested in an alleged racial tirade after throwing her Whopper sandwich at a Burger King employee. Judith Ann Black, of the village of Pine Ridge, was apparently enraged over the thickness of the tomato served in her Whopper on a Friday evening at the Burger... See? That's what happens. The Friday evening at Burger King... She confronted the employee at the counter and was yelling at her. They tried to convince her to calm down and said she could not help her if she did not stop yelling. The woman threw the Whopper at the employee, hitting her in the back. She was screaming. She reportedly used a slur, said the report. A worker at Burger King and an independent customer all separately verified the employee's account of what happened. Video surveillance footage also corroborated all their statements, and another employee captured her license plate when she left the parking lot. They tracked her down. She admitted that she confronted the employee over the thickness of the tomato on her Whopper. She said she was angry, and wow, she said that the employee was a stupid black bee. That was the direct quote. Good heavens. Now, here's what, because she said that, it enhanced the charge of battery from a misdemeanor to a first degree felony. What? That I think is dumb.
Any good lawyer would get that.
Yeah, that's kind of ridiculous. Really? I mean, all for the love. Anyway, she posted a $2,500 bond and she's out. Like, how do you get that mad over a tomato? You know, like, how does that get you that mad? I don't understand that. She did not get it her way.
No,
I'm just saying. Just saying. So, this is kind of crazy. KIRO reports, this is in Dunedin, Florida, a federal decision. This was a back-and-forth court case. A Florida man piled up $30,000 in code violations for letting his grass get too high. And he's going to have to pay, said one judge on Monday. The 71-year-old sued the city after the city was going to foreclose on his home because of this stuff, which I think is stupid.
Yeah.
That is stupid. You never own your own property ever. You never own your own property. There's no reality in which you own your own property. He racked up $30,000 in fines, and they apparently, like, his mower broke. You know what? You know what the way to do this is? Help him out instead of fine him. How about that?
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello. Thank you for listening to The Dana Show. This is columnist and podcaster Sarah Carter, and I'd like to tell you about your new best friend on Friday nights, ZBiotics. Let me tell you, if there's a surefire way to wake up feeling fresh after a night of drinking, it's with ZBiotics. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in your gut. It's this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough next day. ZBiotics produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. Just remember to make ZBiotics your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Every time I have ZBiotics before drinks, I notice a difference the next day. Even after a night out, I can confidently plan on waking up with a smile on my face, ready to face the day. Go to ZBiotics.com/radio, R-A-D-I-O, to get 15% off your first order when you use radio, R-A-D-I-O, at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're ever unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. That's ZBiotics.com/RADIO radio and use the code radio, R-A-D-I-O, at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times.